I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Oh, is this a Christmas episode? No, it's
no,
not.
No. Week before.
This is an anti-Christmas episode, actually. Right. Nathan Henry and Luke Rogers are in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we clap for our guests.
Okay, let's go.
Happy to have you.
I like Nathan's very formal as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll say if you're watching on video and you were like, what would be the costume of two dudes that would have this podcast? It would be all black.
Nailed it.
Ninja.
We didn't play in this. But yeah,
that's how you guys just dressed.
Yeah,
it just all right, if you're listening,
it's slimming. You know, it's that time of year and it's slimming.
Top to bottom. Well, our feet aren't on it, so it's top to bottom black. He's wearing all black. I'm bringing some color to the room.
Yeah.
But hosts, co-host. Do you guys call us yourselves that?
Oh yeah.
Co-host of the internationally popular Blurry Creatures podcast.
That's right.
And a lot of people have been asking for this episode.
Big time.
Oh yeah, because we talked about, what did we talk about?
We got into some geography, which then led to flat Earth theories,
which led to
just everything.
Look at them. Their mouths are closed.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But tell us, before we get into anything, tell us about your podcast and generally what it's about.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talk about Bigfoot, giants, Nephilim, Mothman, aliens, UFOs, all the weird stuff.
Nephilim from the Bible.
Yeah. All through a biblical perspective and paradigm. So we kind of like, you know, church on steroids, but like we just, anything that's weird and crazy, we go to the next level. Yeah.
So. Do we have to pray before this episode?
No.
He said no. He goes, no, definitely
please
not.
Please don't.
No. We don't have to.
No, we don't. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we conspiracy theories are funny, I feel like, because I like to dabble in them. Yeah. Like I just like to hear them. They're fun for me to listen to. But then sometimes when one of them is like, you get a piece of information that it becomes, wait, this might be
a theory.
Real.
Yeah. More than a theory.
Yes. Then you just kind of like, I remember like just going out and like sit. I go, dude, I got to go to my car. I just got to sit there for a second.
Which one was that? The birds aren't real. Was that the one that?
I haven't heard that one.
Birds aren't real. Yeah. I love
that. Hey, these get wild. Like you get all.
I know.
Dude, I saw one yesterday and I was thinking it'd be fun to ask you at some point what your favorite weird conspiracy theory is. But there's one I saw and I don't know who was covering it, but it was that Michael Jackson faked his own death and then he went on Larry King Live as with all these burns on as some other person to let his fans know that he's still alive. And I was like, this is wild.
Yeah. There's like a difference between like, but let me start this whole thing by saying, if you are a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ in the Bible, you by default believe in some supernatural or otherworldly activity.
Yeah, correct. I think that's kind of
by default, we believe in that.
That's where our podcast sort of this is a journey podcast, John. So we started with Bigfoot and kind of what is this thing. And the reason you start there is that of all the weird stuff, that creature's seen the most. And yet they'd haven't pulled a body
Bigfoot's
out of the woods.
The most popular.
Yeah, most popular.
And the most seen. And the most culturally accepted. So you can start there and go, hey, like this.
Everybody knows a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so many people have seen it. I can't tell you how many times you brought people on our show to talk about something else.
Yeah.
And they have a Bigfoot story. And it's like, this is crazy how many people have actually seen this thing.
Yeah.
And they're talking like moms, people with no interest in this creature will talk about it. And you're just like, okay, there's so much more there. And I started getting into this more because I was listening to a Bigfoot podcast just to like, so it was something different to listen to while I was remodeling houses.
Yeah.
And all these theologians kept coming on these shows talking about
like
ancient history that's kind of been rewritten and sort of biblical history that's sort of stuffed under the mattress of there were these hybrids going around in Noah's time. And it's like, wait, what? And as a Christian school kid, I grew up Southern Baptist. I was like, wait a minute. This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, this makes a lot of sense. And I think what we've found is that a lot of people have walked away from their faith because they don't understand the supernatural stories in the Bible and they don't believe them. And so we kind of give people permission. Hey, you can believe the weird stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually, that's the good stuff. That's the, if it's, the Bible is more legitimate because it includes the weird
Instead of everybody would be on. We talk about this on the pod all the time. If you're like pro cop or anti cop or pro choice or pro, everybody's on this spectrum somewhere, right? Of like, all right, I've seen Bigfoot with my own eyes. All right, and then there's the guy. It could be, maybe I've heard some stories. Absolutely. I'm open to the possibility of it happening. No way. Right. So everybody's on here. So if you ask me, is there a possibility that there's something that we don't know about? Yes.
Well, this is good, John, because you're actually a pro. Yeah. So you're leading it right. And so we start every show.
Yeah, maybe.
We start every show on Blurry Creatures. We're 200 plus episodes in here. Yeah. And we ask all of our guests,
okay,
like, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot? So and you're right. So there is a spectrum. So we have got everybody from like Tim Mackey from the Bible Project who said, I've never thought about it. To people that have these really advanced, and funny thing about Tim, and we always bring this up, but he's in the Pacific Northwest, and you're like, dude, this is you're like in the,
he's in your backyard,
you're in the apex of the vortex, man.
This is where it's at,
apex. Yeah, like, but or even if let's say you're out on Bigfoot, you are in on, well, there might be something in the ocean, or there might you're telling me everything we know of, we've seen
is explainable,
So I don't know, if you
so, what are your thoughts, John?
Look at that.
I do see a lot of, I've seen those videos on Barstool.
It's not a great start.
You're like, I've seen those Barstool videos. I've seen those videos of Barstool, and you're like a guy walking across like the desert. You'd be like, that looks like a human in a costume. And then it turns out it was a human in a costume.
Yeah.
But I have heard like stories of people that are like, that they're like, if you have the interaction, whether it's Bigfoot or UFOs, you're like, that they're like scared to talk about it.
Right.
They're like, no, I'm not like here to like joke. Like I for sure saw something that was cannot be explained. And I'm scared. That's like Tucker Carlson talks about that. Yeah, he's like, I'm legit scared.
Yeah.
To open like this door week, because that is, if I have to agree that is possible, then my whole framework of existing comes undone.
So this is the thing. I think this is when we talk about our show, it's like the church itself doesn't address a lot of these things because they're uncomfortable. Like your pastor, like you want to ask your pastor about Genesis 6:1-4. And that's something that's easy. You want to skip over First Peter
at the beginning
where Christ goes and preaches to the imprisoned angels. And you go, what is this about? And those things are easy to kind of skip over because they are conversations that become a little uncomfortable. Genesis 6:4 being the idea that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and you have this angelic
Lord of the Rings stuff.
So, and then you have giants, right? And so, and those conversations, paranormal is a term I think has been abused a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not even probably the right, because like,
no, but it's just things that aren't outside of normal
even
stuff.
Supernatural is kind of, doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything is supernatural technically when you interview these people. And I think on our show, it's interesting because we ask a lot of doctors, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot? And doctors have thoughts, people who are professionals in other realms of interests and wrote books about other things are like, I've done the research and this is legitimate. And I think one thing that we do on our show is, you know, conspiracies and conspiracy theories are different. Like conspiracies have been proven. Like basically it's been coming out. JFK was assassinated by our own. And that's not really a conspiracy theory anymore.
Yes,
and we just lost YouTube.
That's it. It's out. They're like, dude, what happened to John? He's like, I don't know. Dude,
I know. We got some strikes this week on YouTube already. But my point is, eventually they just become conspiracies and you know, people don't, there's never an update. They never send out a new, this conspiracy theory is now a conspiracy. It's true. Theory.
It's like not fact checked anymore. Yeah. It's just like, wait, what?
Well, and we do data. We try to bring the we started with Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
We brought on the Bigfoot scientists. Like I'm the premier. I can't remember what his title was. He's like basically a foot expert. He's like, I got the casts.
Wait, are they abbreviated? Just footers?
Oh, hey.
What do you mean the foot expert?
Like Bigfoot guy, like Rex Ryan.
Like a foot guy.
He's a
foot guy.
Anthropologist.
I'm not there yet. I don't think on the spectrum. I don't think I'm there yet. Yeah.
That is one end of the spectrum for sure.
It takes some time to get there.
He's a big foot guy.
But he's no, but it was like, you know, we started with the scientist and we tried to like prove that like, hey, there's more to this
like
than
doctor.
Just
yep.
just like some guy in the backwoods is like, hey, I saw this thing in my backyard. We we started with credible sources and I think we built a pretty good case. And then we moved on to like the ancient giant phenomenon, how people are still seeing them. And there's all these modern stories of people going to caves in Afghanistan, running into these things. So we go, well, where do the giants come from? If these things are actually being still seen today, is this related to Bigfoot? And then all of a sudden you dive into the Nephilim topic, which Christians either totally embrace or they think it's insane.
It's one of the two. Yeah.
This week's episode brought to you by Henson Shaving, baby. Oh, you got old razors in your game that aren't working out for you? Mm. I just made up that copy myself.
Keep going. I like it, though.
Henson Shaving, dude. That's the one you got because that's what I got on my counter, baby. I wear it now. Honestly, let me think what's the last time I shaved. A couple days ago. Henson Shaving is the family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer that has made parts for the ISS and Mars rover and is now bringing precision engineering to your shaving experience. Oh, yeah. I thought I said I saw a little bit of a – it was going away, my beard. I looked at it from the side. I was like, wait.
Like you thought you saw a patch? Got a little scared?
Is that good? It's not good.
Good to have your beard go away? I don't think so. I don't think you want that.
Yeah. I need to have it I need to have it full, baby, for Christmas. Yeah. Precision is what Henson Shaving is all about. By using aerospace-grade CNC machines, Henson makes metal razors that extend just 0.0013 inches, which is less than the thickness of a human hair. That is true. If you feel that blade, mm-hmm. you can't even feel it.
No.
You can rub your hand over, you wouldn't even know it existed.
Yeah, when I first started using it, I didn't think I was using it right because I didn't feel like I was shaving.
Same. Yeah. Oh, precision, clog-free design. Henson Shaving wants the best razor, not the best razor business. Mm. That means no plastic, no subscriptions, no proprietary blades, and no planned obsolescence.
Love that.
Henson Razor works with standard dual-edged blades to give you that old-school shave with the benefits of the new-school tech. Old-school plays the new-school pool. Yeah. Once you own a Henson Razor, it was only $3 to $5 per year to replace those blades. And they gave me a stack of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the game.
Yeah. Beat. Plus this deal we got hooks it up.
Oh, HensonShaving.com, baby, / net positive. HensonShaving.com, baby, / net positive is not the URL at all. HensonShaving.com/ net positive. Pick the razor for you and use the code net positive. 2 years worth of blades free with your razor. That's Henson Shaving.com/ net positive. Use the code net positive or click the link in the episode description.
And to make sure people get that right too, you add the blade, that you add the razor to your cart, then you add the blades to your cart, then you hit that coupon code. That's how you make sure you claim that 2 year free razor deal.
And then you're going to look like us.
Yeah.
That's the main benefit.
Back to the episode.
All right. So like Ghost Hunters on Discovery, like that's obviously real.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Wait, is it?
I think that they're dabbling with supernatural stuff because there's ones where
when they're hearing stuff, you know, that's actually what I'm talking about.
Well, spirits are real, right? Spirits we know are spirits are real. Demons in the Bible talked about. They're all right, spirits.
I agree on that. Yeah.
So
that show with the guys, like, I hear something.
Yeah. I mean, some of that stuff.
Sensationalized.
There may be stuff that they're are creating for a show, but the reality of the things that some of those things that occur, those things actually happen.
And you go, so you look at, like, we were talking about this last week. Like we talked about this on the phone yesterday. So I went down to, like, you talk about, let's say Tucker Carlson, or I went down to the Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
I was on their podcast last week, Alex. And like, those guys are like literally hunting for ducks. They have plenty of money. They're not even on social media. And I go, these guys have no reason to lie to you. They don't need popularity. They don't need money. They have no reason to lie to you. So that you can trust the words that they are saying.
There's no incentive. They're not trying to write a book.
Yeah, there's no incentive. Carlson is out. He's not work for Fox News anymore. He's totally on his own.
Right.
He doesn't need, not the, and you could say he could break from what you agree with or not.
Sure.
But like, if you look at somebody that has a supernatural experience,
right,
and you have to, and the Bible talks a lot about this, discern these, but somebody has a story, they go, dude, I have no reason to lie to you.
Yeah, I think those are the most compelling. I think when we talk about
Bigfoot,
like, it's like the hunters, right? And this is why I think it is the most interesting is you have hunters that spend You know, these are,
he's like, I'm not even a flat earther. Well, I'm not guys. Even anything
they're,
guy.
Like, I've been in the woods my whole life. Yes, yeah. I've seen everything. I know if it's a bear. I know if it's a moose. Yes. I know and it's not that.
Yeah.
And then they don't tell anybody because there's a social stigma. And there's also this thing like you start, anytime you have a really extraordinary experience, I think that that's weird.
Yeah.
There's this default that once it's happened, people try to talk themselves out of irrationalize and you get to a point where you can't rationalize this and then they don't tell anyone. And then when they do tell somebody, you go, this isn't for clout. You're not writing a book. This isn't a documentary. Yeah, yeah. You've got really no reason to make this up because there's no personal gain attached to this. Yeah. Right. And also what do you gain in us except that you're now out as someone who said, I've seen X, Y, Z. And it could be, it's the same thing with UFOs and aliens, abductions, all those things that we end up never be covering. But our goal with all of this is to, all the weird stuff is to contextualize it within a biblical worldview, because I do believe that there is, for Christians especially, there is a knee-jerk reaction. There's something that falls outside of the fences you've built for your faith.
Yeah.
That it's just to throw it out. Or I'm just putting my head in sand. This is not something I want to talk about. Or this automatically is just demons.
Or I gotta go get groceries.
Yeah,
I can't, or I got bills to pay, or I gotta take my kids to school.
Don't we all do that to some extent about things where like it's easier just to compartmentalize and not deal with that.
Well, you kind of have to, you need sort of something that kind of a slow drip.
Yeah.
That's why we started with Bigfoot. Okay. It's kind of weird.
Slow drip.
But it's kind of, maybe it's
now
just
you
an
guys
animal.
Are like, I have to like go to your like course in Peru and I like live with them. You're like, dude, I think I've like, it starts, this how it starts.
Yeah.
And we're both like taking their classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, hey, you just got to drink this Kool-Aid. I'm like, what?
I just got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got it. Next one is a love gift.
Yeah.
Like we all
$99.95.
My podcast starts becoming about this. You're like, dude, they got me, bro.
Like our last episode, we did one where he's a pastor. He works with satanic ritual abuse victims.
Okay.
And he was talking about how your soul can be fractured in pieces and traded on like spiritual, supernatural trade routes. And it's, you can't start there.
Nah, that's
you cannot, you cannot
look at
start
Andrew,
there.
Dude.
And it's like,
and but, start there.
But even if half of what this guy is saying is true, I mean, you have to expand your paradigm right in the moment. So I think that's the hardest part for Luke and I is that in the interview, we have to expand our paradigms a lot. We go, is this guy just totally full of it or is this true? If it is true, what do we do with it?
So you guys are sizing us up and figuring out how far we're going to be able to go.
Yeah. Well, I think we're our podcast is on a journey too. So we're out in real time doing.
Exactly. He thinks we're
listening to these people who, you know, we've tried to bring people on, as Nate said, that have the 10,000 hours. So they've written books, they spent the time on it.
Yeah.
It still is oftentimes, at least, you know, for me, and I know for Nate, there's this leap to being like, I don't know. I mean, and this person, this is their this is our platform, and they're using it to explain their thesis. I don't know if I'm there yet. And I think that the Bible is very specific on the Johnson's supposed to test the spirits, and we're supposed to, you know, spit out the bones, chew the meat, spit out the bones. Yep. And I think when you're working in the realm of the unknown and things that don't have like a concrete answer, we don't have a body to pull out of the woods for Bigfoot yet. Right. Yeah. For example, that example, you're working on the best evidence you have.
Well, I've talked about this.
Or do we?
I talk about this all the time. Is that when I was in? I've told this story before. I was on the way to New Jersey in an Uber on the way to the airport.
And you saw him?
No, I didn't see him.
Okay.
Well, this is. So the guy goes. I always make conversation with the Uber drivers because I'm a good person. 5.0 rating, by the way. Thank you. I've told this story before, and I go, "Where are you from?" And he goes, "Abbottabad." He said he's from Abbottabad, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I go, oh, Abbottabad, isn't that where Bin Laden was from? He goes, yeah. And he goes, dude, Bin Laden died in like 2004 of cancer.
Wow.
And he goes, there's no way that they invaded, like Obama was trying to win the election. Yep. I mean, I'm not saying I believe this. This is what he told me.
This is what an Afghan told you.
Yes. He goes, this is it's a small village in the desert. He goes, but we hated Bin Laden. He was an extreme. We didn't like him either. If he would have lived there, we would have known. And there's no way he lived there. And he goes, Bin Laden or Obama was trying to win the election. He needed that W to get reelected. They flew over in the middle of the night, took him out in the darkness, and then threw him into the ocean.
Yeah, they buried him at sea.
He goes, that's not a true story. And I don't think I believe that, but. I've been up nights thinking
you're
about
considering
that.
It. But you're like, this
no. And that's all you are asking is that you're saying,
yeah,
consider this.
And that's what's scary. Like, that's a scary story to even say.
But I think we talked about this yesterday on the phone, right? But John, I think the thing with all of this, right? And that's sort of an outlier.
But I think he's like, I don't go.
He's like, that's
not
no,
really no, I, dude, I can go there.
Yeah.
But I think what's important when we start to talk about supernatural things, especially on our show, is that our whole goal is to contextualize it within a biblical worldview. So we as Christians, and you alluded to this at the beginning, if we're really real about our faith, we believe a lot of wild stuff. There's a lot of weird things in the Bible. We believe in immaculate conception, an incarnate Christ, a resurrected Christ.
None of these things have ever been seen before or after, by the way.
So these are amazing. Well,
Jesus tells the future.
Oh yeah.
He says, you know, you're going to deny me. Yeah. You're going to turn on me. I mean, how does he know those things? And I think a lot of times people come back to their faith because a lot of people walk away from, let's look at the giant issue. Giants are all over the Old Testament. It's a big problem. David and Goliath is like a snapshot. You know, God commands, you know, these people to just be wiped out.
Yeah.
So, like, how is that even justifiable?
Yep.
Well, you kind of look at it and you're like, these weren't human beings.
Yeah.
Technically, they were hybrids.
Yeah.
And they were doing satanic witchcraft in ways and doing, defiling themselves in ways we can't even comprehend today. So we look at the sort of the giant narrative from everything from Smithsonian covering up history. There's newspaper archives, there's mounds, and there's, you know, they find giant skeletons in these mounds in America. How is that possible? And everything is sort of hidden from us. So I think that's kind of by design, like they hide this information, this history. So we're kind of an alternate history show as well. And, you know, it's all kind of tied together in this weird way, like giants, aliens, Bigfoot, UFOs. It's like it's all kind of in this, you know, you see these threads kind of connecting and you go, oh man, I didn't think that we'd be talking about these things, but it's connected and we have to.
If it's in the book that we believe it.
Right.
Yeah. It is in there.
We should, right? I mean,
that's, so you have to, by default, you have to have a stance on it.
Yeah.
Correct.
It is in there. Like if you, like Jesus, I've heard all kind of like, if you don't think that person, you could say he's the son of God, he's not. That person existed.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a bunch of extra biblical accounts
of that man. Yeah. And you say he's the son of God, he's not the son of God, he's a normal guy, he was a whatever he was. Yeah. Are we all agreeing that that guy existed?
Yeah.
Okay. Then what? Then.
Well, at least you and I do. Nate didn't.
Yeah. Well, we're still praying for him. If my mom listens to this podcast, so she's praying for you now. For sure. All these things are in the Bible, and you go, well, you're a Christian by nature. You believe in this book.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the giants in the Old Testament? I never really thought about it.
Well, and I think this, listen, like the problem, I think in some ways for the modern, this is the West, specifically
we're
going to
ask you though.
Is that we live in a bubble in the West. Like we have divorced ourselves by and large in the West from the supernatural, right? This is not a problem in sub-Saharan Africa or South America or these other places on the map now.
I've been everywhere.
When you are sick in Haiti or sub-Saharan Africa, you go to the witch doctor, right? Yep. And people get healed. It still happens on that side, right?
I'm in on that.
And if you're a missionary,
I'm in on that.
And there's all these stories about missionaries that go out, and what they do is they come to these remote villages and they say, we don't want you.
Yeah.
We serve our God.
Yep.
And we've heard a number of these stories, which I love to retell, but what inevitably ends up happening, it seems, is that someone gets sick and the witch doctor can't heal them. Right. And so there's a phone call or a messenger shows up to the missionary and says, hey, can you help? And almost without fail, these stories go, the missionary goes up, they pray for this person and they're healed, and the entire village converts because they live in a paradigm where they're not, your God is stronger, is more powerful than our God. We're now going to serve your God is more powerful. It's supernatural God, paradigm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
In the West.
That happened all through the Bible, by the way.
And we're in the West.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of atheists and agnostic types in the Old Testament. And they all believed something.
Yeah.
But they believed in their God.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things we talk about on our show is that, you know, we were kind of grew up thinking gods were these golden calves.
Yeah.
But why would a nation be seduced to go to another nation's gods if they weren't actually offering them anything or giving them anything? It's just this, hey, we showed up and it's just this gold statue. Oh no, they're actually entities.
There is some kind of power or some kind
of. Yes. Otherwise you don't have a transaction. You don't worship that
thing. Why would you?
Right.
And the idol was just like it was sort of like a, they used the idol to get the entity to come into the idol. So the idol was possessed by something. Yeah, it wasn't, it wasn't the idol itself as much as it was what's in living in this idol. And they used that as sort of a conduit to get this being to come into it. And then they worship that.
Yeah.
So they're actually worshiping beings. And I think, you know, one of the commandments, don't have any other gods before me.
Yeah.
Why would you have a commandment?
That's the first most
of a, you know, like a make believe God. It doesn't make sense. There actually had to have been something.
And in the West now, like we live in this post enlightenment academic era, right? Where we rationalized everything. And what's hard is that the Bible was so supernatural. There's things that don't make rational sense, right? We live in this empirical age where we have to measure everything. And you, in the West, we've at least divorced ourselves a lot from that supernatural, which is really hard for the church, because if that's the cultural paradigm we live in, our faith is very supernatural. So you have this problem then, right? So you go to church, maybe you just get and sadly, in some places, this is not a broad brush, but in some places you get it's a feel good, like self-help, like motivational speech. And it doesn't incorporate a lot of, and so then when you, of the supernatural, so when you reach these points in the Bible, you either just skip over them or you go, I don't know what to do with that. And so I think.
You just kind of brush it aside.
I think it's important context. Like, so we want to go back and look at the scripture. What does the scripture say? What is the author referring to in the language to the audience of that time? We're talking thousands of years ago. So their supernatural paradigm, much like outside of the West right now, is that it's real. And there are entities and things that exist that are, quote, supernatural, right? And so we are in this weird sort of time where we've attempted to rationalize all that away. And even in the church, we sort of, the things
they
that
don't
are-
talk about it.
Well, and the things, what's really maybe more funny, if you will, not funny, but just odd, is that we believe in all these very, very miraculous supernatural things as the basis for our faith. And yet those have become normal. Jesus in a manger, Jesus shows up, you know, and he's resurrected. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you go, those are miraculous.
That's a crazy story.
Right. And in Matthew, Christ is resurrected, the dead come out of their tombs and walk around. How many times you got that on Easter?
That's in there.
It's in there.
That's in the same story.
It's like all these like zombies walking around.
What I think a lot of people do is they just say, oh, wow, that's just
like a fairy tale.
That's just their mythology. These things aren't actually true. But you're like, okay, well, the Greeks are writing about the same things. All these different ancient, you know, people groups are talking about the flood. They're talking about all these similar things. Like, they were all just making it all up, and now we, in this day, know everything. It's kind of
or what like, would be the, yeah, what would be the motivation? I mean, I remember in my high school, the Bible teacher or whatever. You know, when you're in high school, you think the Bible teacher is like this, like. You know, he has a doctorate. He's just like a guy. It turns out he was like, he's 26.
Isn't that funny? Dude, the older you get, like I was thinking about my high school teachers. Bro, and I'm like,
that was just fourth application.
Younger than me now.
I thought my Miss, what's her name? I don't got to put her on this podcast.
Come on.
Miss Martinez. Miss Martinez was my.
Oh,
was
there
my,
she is. She's listening.
Miss Martinez was my. Shout what's out. The other lady's name?
Shout out Miss Martinez.
Miss, I don't know, but they were like my Spanish teacher. And they were
Spanish
like,
at Amish school?
Come on, dude. Wow, this is unnecessary. No, I went to Christian high school after we left the Amish. All right. But we were like, this is my first time learning like another language. This was like another world.
Yeah.
And like she spoke Spanish, but she just like went to Spain on like a grad school trip. Yeah, we thought she was like from a different, like she was 21. She was like our friend, like we were like, this is not a, anyway, but our Bible teacher said, cause we were talking about, you know, the Bible and then they were talking about all the other, this is why evolution's not true. This is why this is not true. And I go, I never forget asking this. I go, what do the critics say why ours is not true? If you go to atheist high school, that'd be a wild high school. Where do you go?
What's your mascot?
AHS.
Nothing.
AHS high school.
Nothing is our mascot.
No mascot.
Nothing.
The nihilists. We believe in nothing.
We don't have one.
Let's play the basketball game. Who cares? But he was like,
there's no reason, no purpose.
No reason to play. So I go, what is the atheist, what is their criticism of ours? And he goes, well, God. So like a supernatural, a virgin yeah. birth can't happen. It can
yeah.
under our framework of there is a almighty, all-powerful God.
Right. Right.
So like how did a coin get in the fish's mouth in yeah. the a God? How did the Red Sea part, how did all these things happen? Well, how did this
how did Balaam Zonkey talk?
And I think,
yeah,
and I
yeah,
think
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the things that we do on our show, I think that's why we start with sort of modern day sightings of weird stuff. A lot yeah. of people see UFOs, it's clear as day. Some people say they're the size of buildings and they just float overhead and they have nobody to talk to.
And the person that has seen it is not saying a word. Because they're terrified.
Exactly.
The person that's like, I saw it, are like, all right. Like, now I'm talking about the Barstool people again.
Right, right.
They are looking for a clout.
Sure.
But they're, yeah. But
in this time, though, I mean, think about, it's been really interesting because, you know, we started this podcast in 2020. And in the last year, we've had, I mean, the UFO topic
was a conspiracy. I'm just kidding. I'm joking, too.
You're now off of YouTube permanently.
There it is.
You will get a strike.
Just joking.
Listen, this year has been wild, right? Like, yeah. All of a sudden, we have a House Oversight Committee. We have our government, and we have whistleblowers coming out of these top secret jobs with legal protections
yep.
who aren't taking the stance of the government. They're blowing the whistle, saying these things are happening. So, I mean, what a time! Like we are talking about these things. And so as Christians, right? So what are we meant to think about these?
Yep.
Right. And it's very easy just to brush these off and say, it's all demons. It's all demonic manifestations. It's all this. And then just put it away. But yeah. the reality is that if we believe, you know, what these whistleblowers are saying at their own peril, they're hiding in person, right? Then you have to start considering what's going on. And so I think it's so important, regardless of where you fall on that spectrum we talked about, that you discuss these things, contextualize these yeah. things, because if yeah. you don't, I think inevitably the world will tell you what to believe and how to believe it. And they're more than willing to disciple you in yeah. where you're supposed to believe. Right.
Yeah.
But how does that fall in line with our beliefs? If we make the Bible and the biblical narrative our foundation of our yeah. faith, which it is, what does it say about these things? And
yeah.
surprisingly, I think it says a lot about what we can think about things like disclosure and what's happening right now in, you know, because the craziest thing too, and I think you probably even talked about this, is that we're almost at like disclosure of UFOs and all these things being real, and yet it seems to not even blip really in
people
social consciousness.
People can't handle
it. People don't care.
Their yeah. paradigms will blow up. And I think what I was trying to say was like the weird never left. It's always been weird. This yep. whole thing is weird. What we're doing here is strange. If you think about what's taking place right now as humankind on a planet, you know, yeah. and all the weird stuff has kind of always been in the background. But I think in ancient times, it was just more prevalent. It was just more
it was socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable, it. But and yeah. you didn't really, you had stuff walking amongst you. You yeah. know, you had, you know, real crazy supernatural stuff happening in nations and they were warring against each other. I mean, think about the, you know, kind of ancient Egypt
yep.
and the pyramids. So we talk about the pyramids, about how insane these things are. You're talking oh, yeah. one block.
I've seen them. I've seen them with my own eyes. They are real. I've been there.
And they're
I can get,
not AI.
They're
that's
massive.
How far on the spectrum I am. I have been there. I have seen them.
Emperor.
And nobody asks the why question. Why do they build these things?
Yeah.
I mean, they're massive.
Yeah.
You're talking one block every 5 minutes for 20 years just to build the one in Giza. And you know, sort of our modern science will say, oh, this is how maybe they yeah. did it. But they never ask why. And I think that you got to stop and think, this would have taken literally every resource and these blocks aren't close and they would have to. This thing is mathematically perfect.
Yeah.
How did the ancient people have this knowledge to build these things? And yeah. so we're told that humans were dumb cavemen and now we're slowly getting smarter.
Yeah.
And they deny all this ancient tech. You've been to Peru. You've seen yep. some of the ancient tech.
Yep.
And, you know, we see sort of the remnants of the golden age. And I think that's what yeah. the pyramids are. It's some of the things in Peru are. There was this time when knowledge was everywhere, and it wasn't human knowledge. It was
yeah.
from the kingdom of heaven that had somehow got to us. And you see this in the scriptures too. It's like, oh, there was this imparting of knowledge that we weren't supposed to have. I mean, that's basically the Genesis story is, you know, we ate from this tree and we started to think differently and we became different. But entities were influencing humans from the beginning. we were getting knowledge and we were getting having interactions with technically extraterrestrial beings, non-human entities. They're not
right, and
so ETs isn't that crazy to think.
It just means off Earth. I mean, so by definition,
it's
angels.
It's a great movie.
By definition, angels are not of Earth. We are right. This is our this is our dominion, our place. We were created as the Bible says to subdue the earth and all. This was Adam in his line was to subdue the earth and all it's in it. Right. So I mean, by definition, if we're supposed to contextualize some of these things, angels are not of Earth. In fact, Job says that the sons of God, which is the same Hebrew language that's used repeatedly for what we call angels, which is Greek for messenger, right? It's just a job title.
Okay.
That these are not, they're of heaven, not of Earth, right? So what, and this is what's crazy, right? Is that in this time, the other sort of narrative around this narrative is the ancient aliens one, right? Which is very, very much close to what the Bible says, but it's just saying that these were ETs. They're from another planet and they came in, they planted us here and they gave us this knowledge.
Which is totally exploding. You have these UFO religions.
I mean, like millions and millions and millions of views. And that is, that is a narrative that I think that the world would like you to sort of buy into if you're interested at all. But the reality is, I think, is that we look at the Bible and we say, oh, these things were happening. These were sons of God. So these were the angelic race, if you will. And there was this interaction.
Yep.
And you've been to Peru. It's funny. John and I ran into each other when we were going to our trip in the airport, like 5 a.m.
Oh, you were going to Peru.
Yeah. We bumped in. I'm like, you're going to Sacramento. Yeah. And like,
Sacktown.
Sac. And I'm like, we're going to Peru. And you're like, you're going to Peru.
Both demonic places. No, I'm just kidding.
I grew up in Sac. That's why I'm on the show.
But I think that's what Nate's getting at is like you've gone and touched like the stones in Peru. They have these polygonal walls. They call them cyclopean architecture where you have these stones that appear to have been shaped. They fit together with not mortar. They fit together like puzzle pieces.
Like butter.
And then you look at the Incan stuff that comes after and it's worse. And so you go, there's these things that – there's these clues that
technology and engineering was worse.
It should go from worse to better as we progress in time. But in places like the megaliths, and
just like grandpa knew all those things that we don't know how to do anymore, you know?
Just like at atheist high school. Well, all right. I'm trying to think. We have like a segmented out for everything. So like I got a car guy, right? Yeah. I got a house guy. I got my doctor. I got my therapist. Like you farm out these. So you go, when somebody told me about like compound interest for like money, you go, okay, wait, everything I learned about money is false. You should do this with money. And then I go, my car, let's say that you should put synthetic oil in it. And then the other guy goes, you should definitely not put synthetic oil in your car. So you go, all right, now I have to think.
Right.
Like my doctor who I trust with my, I told this story before, I think, he goes, this is last year, my doctor, and you can think whatever you want on this. He goes, you know, are you drinking? I go, no. He's like, you exercise? Yeah, if you're doing well, you should probably eat better. And he goes, and I would also recommend that you should get the COVID vaccine. And this has nothing to do with this podcast, but I go, wait, what? And I've had it twice already and recover. It was no problem. And all the things the point is, oh, now I trusted this guy with all of my.
And there's this thing that makes you be like, wait a minute.
And now you have to go, huh? So if you go, I read this thing on, telling my girlfriend, I read something on Twitter last night. It's like renting is definitely better than buying a house.
Dude, I've seen the same thing.
I go, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I was like, I'm looking at this information and I'm reading. I go, I got to click on these and I'm reading these comments and I go, okay. Like if I'm in the airport during 2020, there's a guy in a full hazmat suit and me with nothing. And we're looking at the same information.
Yeah.
So we have to make these, you trusted the government or you trusted your car guy or you trusted your pastor. Yeah. And unfortunately people leave their church because they go, I was with my pastor on this, 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 and this. And then he started on this. And now what I have to do now is think for myself. And I didn't want to.
Right.
So now he goes, we should do this with the poor, this with your money, this with your family, and this with your, and you go,
right.
And that's what the Bible is talking about. You have to now
Yeah.
And no one wants to do that.
Farm out.
No one wants to do that.
No, we live in a time everyone wants to be told what to do.
I mean, so the government knows what's best. Pill.
We're highly specialized. We have a highly specialized culture.
Yeah.
And so let's say you have a problem with your foot. Your foot's hurting.
Yeah.
But it's actually a back problem.
Yeah.
Because everything's connected.
And everybody has been to the doctor where this has happened before.
Yes.
Where you go, it's your ACL, it's your Achilles. And they go, oh no, it's actually your enzymes with the thing. And then it fixes it.
Which is why we have holistic doctors, because it's a whole body. It's a whole organism. It's a whole system. You can't just have an expert on one thing and expect to make sense of all these multiple things that are going on. And the same thing with our podcast. We have we have all these weird blurry creatures going on and they're all connected
and
in this
people
weird
come
way.
On that you disagree with probably.
Oh yeah.
And you go, no way.
It's just like, that's a bridge too far.
But I mean, that's where Luke and I have to sort of curate this. Like,
how does this end between you guys? You for sure hate each other at the end of this. Definitely.
I think we just battle it out in the Thunderdome.
I mean, this ends where you go, no, I've definitely, and you go, no. And
it's like over. The good son at the end. There's just someone's holding both of us on the edge of a cliff, and it's just one of them's got to go. One of us has to go. And were they PSYOP the whole time?
Yeah.
Were they part of the Illuminati?
I knew it. Why do you think it is? Because every time I've been to any other country, and I've been to a lot of Middle Eastern countries, a lot of African countries, a lot of South American and Central American countries.
Oh, and can't hide money, baby.
And there, I got to let them know, first class.
there we go.
Sometimes people's seat is like this,
well,
mine goes all the way.
Hey, well traveled, baby. Yeah. You put me in a pot. I slept the whole time.
I bring out my passport. Why over there? I feel like every supernatural story I have is over there.
That's an interesting question.
Over anywhere, by the way.
We actually did an episode with Dr. Craig Keener. He's studied miracles. And so this is a question I had. And it was like, why do things, the miraculous, seem to happen not here, you know, in other places in the world? And what he said is actually that isn't really true.
Okay.
He said that it happens here. It just isn't
advertised
or covered as well, that you still have it happen.
They're fringe people, right?
What he said about miracles, I think, is fascinating, right? So we talk about the miraculous, like you talk about, and these things get people uncomfortable as well, especially in the Western church, like healings. Like, people will tell you now that anything supernatural, miraculous, there are people that believe in the church and certain denominations that ceased with the disciples and the apostles, that after that, there was none. I would say empirical data says that's actually false. It's not true. But what Craig said, and he's written like these massive books, right? Dr. Craig, these massive books about miracles in the Bible and then modern day.
Yep.
And he says that for whatever reason, there's not a formula to it. God will do it and intervenes when he feels fit.
It's kind of random.
Right. But what he says is you can bet on a couple things, is that if God will perform miracles on the cutting edge of evangelism. And what he means by that is that you go to these places where, like I said before, they believe in the supernatural. That is a reality, a paradigm that exists for them on a day-to-day basis. And so when there's a miraculous healing, what inevitably ends up happening is the entire village converts. They all accept Christ. And so when God cares about bringing people into his kingdom, into his family. And so what Craig was saying is that he believes, based upon the data which he's collected, that God intervenes in times when it causes, it's on the cutting edge of evangelism, that causes a mass conversion, whether it be an African village or a place. And he tells this really interesting story from Australia as well, which I think is fascinating.
That wouldn't even happen here. If somebody said my leg grew back, everybody would be like,
well, No, it didn't.
No,
but there's a guy, I know at a church here in town who talked about praying for
the toes. We talked about that.
Praying for his uncle.
Remember the toes?
Yeah. Praying for his uncle, and his uncle essentially, like,
he was a foot guy,
growing a new, like, essentially regrowing things inside of his body, like regrowing parts of an organ that shouldn't have happened, and that happened, and then the doctors can't explain it, but it doesn't. I don't know that it causes a ton, a whole village to convert.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of where you have this, like, I don't know, and it's part of the mystery, right? So what things we talk about, we're never going to really know all the answers. Like, if you're a Christian, you believe we serve an infinite God, and the Bible is very specifically, it says that his ways are higher. We'll not know everything.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is just find better answers for these questions.
And weird stories.
But here's one of the stories he tells too, I think is fascinating in the healing realm, is he talks about this Australian doctor who feels, he's a believer, feels like God tells him he needs to pray for this guy that's been been pronounced dead on the operating table.
Yep.
Been dead for like 20 minutes. So knocked into the brain and he's like, this is wild. The guy's going to be a vegetable. He ends up saying, okay, let's go pray for him, prays for him. And then says, let's hit him one more
pray
time.
Pray for him in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And says, let's hit him one more time with the paddles. Guy comes back, no brain damage, comes back to life, gets saved. And they start speaking together. The same doctor.
When was this?
It's in his book. It's in the 2000s. Okay, I mean, it's recent. The same doctor's own son gets terminal leukemia.
Yeah.
Pray for their son. Isn't healed.
Right.
Dies. And then, so then this guy has this whole situation to digest where God intervened and saved a stranger using him to pray for him. God did not intervene for his own son.
Yeah.
And he prayed for him. And then you go, why does God do what he does? And I don't know that we'll ever know that except that,
but the miracle did happen.
Miracle happened. And now this guy that came back to life, who accepted Christ, and this doctor speak.
Yeah.
And people come to Christ. And I don't know that. And I mean, it's a long way of saying, I don't know. And that's a weird situation for a guy. If you're that guy, you go, why would you use me to help pray and save a stranger, but not my own son?
That's everybody's question.
Right. Yeah.
But I like the idea that these extraterrestrial or supernatural or otherworldly, whatever. And a lot of you mentioned it earlier, is we talk to doctors who like, and everybody has this story. It was like they had a 1 in a million chance, or there was never. And then they looked at the CAT scans and they looked at the X-ray and it was, and every doc and the doctor goes, we don't know.
I think the stories are getting weirder, is that everyone has a paranormal story where it's beyond the miracles. It's everyone has a spiritual healing story, or had a friend or a grandma or an aunt. But then we hear all these stories of how someone saw this creature, someone saw this demon, we hear some wild stuff. These entities show up in people's bedrooms.
Yeah.
The Hat Man, you know, the little gray aliens are abducting.
Now we're talking.
It's like we hear those stories and you go, and it's all the same people. What?
Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to say the devil's advocate, but the devil, he doesn't need an advocate. If you see an angel, right? If somebody say, I saw an angel, I saw a demon, I saw a Bigfoot, like, it's like the ghost hunter show on E. It's like, there was like a, they're like, right? You see, is this like them like accidentally screwing up? Because like, oh, I accidentally got seen, or oh, I'm trying to be. If they're trying to be hidden,
sometimes.
What did they mess up, or why did you kind of see them, but well, not really see them? Was Bigfoot? Is he trying to be hidden?
Yeah.
What's he doing? I screwed up. Actually, went the wrong way to the store. He tried to go to the store, but they might have seen me.
Like he goes back to all the other Bigfoot, and they're like,
"He was getting
again?
Dude,
you're getting seen again.
What are you doing? We're supposed to stay in
this way."
He was getting his feet. He was getting his feet busted by his wife, and he was just taking a walk.
He's like, dude, cover the track. Like whenever I go in the bunker on the golf course, I rake it. They were like, dude, Bigfoot. Rake it, bro.
Well, all these when things, you leave. Okay, so there are legalities.
Good person, John. Yeah, you rake your bunkers.
Bigfoot, rake your footprints, dog.
Replace your divots, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Look at you, bro.
So what we've learned on our show is like these.
That's good and evil, by the way. The angels I saw, did they accidentally fly and then they accidentally brushed it?
There are legalities, right? They all seem to have to follow these laws, these spiritual laws. And I think this is something that we read in, you know, the scriptures. There are laws that how these things sort of have to behave. And the kingdom of heaven is one of not disorder, but of order. And you hear there's job titles, there's characters that have specific things they have to do. And I think some of these entities, especially when like possessions, you talk to any exorcist, they're going to say, there was some legality issue. You gave permission to this entity to come into you. And it's not whimsical, like things just happen. It's like they have to follow these laws. And so what a lot of people have hypothesized on our show is when the Holy Spirit spread, a lot of this stuff stopped, which is why the Old Testament feels kind of crazy, because there's all this stuff going on, all these wild things happening. Explain. But when the Holy Spirit comes, a lot of this stuff has to go underground and hide. Okay. It doesn't have the legal right to do what it does before. So that's why it feels like you're reading two different books.
Okay.
But in reality, it's just kind of, it goes to the dry places, or it goes underground, or it hides in the shadows.
Has, by nature of the Holy Spirit being present, it has to.
Yeah.
Okay. And we know it operates that way too, right? Because, I mean, Job, right? Satan presents himself or the accuser in the language and then has to have permission. And so we know there's permissions. And so I think the other thing too with this is that we are body and spirit. We have a spirit, right?
Yep.
By definition. So, you know, I think that by God's grace, there's a veil. Like, we don't see a lot of the things that go on, but I think that oftentimes there's this crossing over, and because we are spirit as well, there's an ability for us to see things. I mean, the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So I think as Nate said, there's a yes and where it's very much a reality. And I don't know that it happens by accident or, you know, these things feed on fear and want to show up and the Bigfoot thing does seem to happen sometimes by accident, because it's weird. People say they just saw him walking off, you know, the Patterson Gimlin film, a really famous one where they just, this Bigfoot just walking across the meadow. Just she's going to see what's going on.
Female. Yeah. We haven't just talked to it. So let it choose its own gender. We haven't talked to it yet. How it identified that day.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. No.
She definitely. Well,
I was getting,
she was hairy.
I was getting emotional just by hearing that story. Cause I mean, I've been
the Bigfoot story.
Like, nah, well, about the supernatural because when I was in rehab, I say this, talk about this before in here. The word I use, people make fun of me. I was like, I looked the devil in the eye when I was in Wickenburg, Arizona. And it's interesting as a Christian or a believer or whatever you said, something was, I wouldn't even say screaming at me to end my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I was so, now you look back on it, you're like, gosh, I can't believe I thought. And so we go, well, where, and that's everybody, by the way, is going to relate to that. Maybe not to that extent, but like, you should leave this planet. And by the way, no one that was around me that knew me and loved me was said anything near close to that. And a lot of people that I know have listened to that and have ended their lives.
Yeah.
And so when I was out there, it was like a battle, literally battling for my soul.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah.
I felt that so, so palatable every day. And who was that?
We're in a world at war.
Like, who was that talking to?
Well, Paul talks about how our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? But it's against principalities. And I think too, like, you know, my favorite verse in the Bible is, as you go back to Atheist High, I went to Christian school. My favorite verse is John 10:10, where it talks about, for the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. And so I think ultimately,
I've come that they may have life.
We're imago Dei. We are image bearers of the King, of the Most High. And so we are very much in a world at war. There is a kingdom of darkness is warring against the kingdom of heaven. And this is very real. It's an ancient war that's been going on, and it will be ended if you believe your
Bible.
That
is a biblical story.
And everybody here wars against that.
Yes.
You're lying if you're saying you're not, like.
And there's nothing more that the darkness would prefer than those that bear the image of the King.
To end.
Right, because God has callings on all of our lives, right? And look at, I met you when you came right out of rehab, right out.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. And I know.
For this guy.
And I know. You know, after talking to you from that journey, like what you've been through, and it's amazing that we serve a God that's in the business of redemption, and He is, and I think the flip side of that is God is always redeeming, and the kingdom of darkness is always looking to destroy, and because there are callings in all of our lives. I don't care what you do or where you live, God has a calling and He dreams for your life, and I think in our own free will we choose to do what, but I think the idea that God is dreaming big things for our lives and has callings on us is something the enemy would love nothing more than to snuff out. And
otherwise, why? Otherwise, why would he want to? Why would he want to? I don't want to say kill me, but why would if the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy? Yeah. Right? I was like, I remember I go, I'm at rock bottom, and the therapist is like, no, you're not. There's so many more bottoms. I still have my family and money. That was unnecessary.
That was unnecessary.
I well traveled.
No, I still like, I rake my bunker. No, I still like, I could still, I mean, I could still go play golf. I guess he's like, you chose this to be the bottom. There's so much, so many more worse. So if the enemy, you have to believe that there's good and evil.
Yeah.
And you wake up and you want to do evil. Right.
Yeah.
And there's this, why would the enemy want to destroy you if you there wasn't a plan for good for you?
Yeah.
By default.
And why would
you have to agree that if you overcome this and don't kill yourself, it is for a good and for good.
Right.
And you are. Yeah. I mean, technically, like Luke was saying earlier, we're all, you know, God wants a family. That's what we are. We are. That's the gospel story. We're back in the family. We were estranged. We were the prodigal son. We wandered away. We spoiled our inheritance. Now we're back in the family. So Satan, technically, and his, you know, hordes of, you know, creatures that he has commanded in his legions want to kill and destroy God's children because they hate him. They hate us. They don't like the fact that we were made in God's image. They don't, you know, so we are a unique creation. We are one of the many creatures in God's creation. And I think that what we do and with our podcast is give people permission to believe the weird stuff that's happened to them and believe the weird stories in the Bible and the stuff that's coming. Like we said, we have basically our government saying, we have Edward Snowden's of the UFO community coming out and saying, not only have I seen these things, but there's entities and this craft, the technology that they possess is otherworldly.
Yeah,
it is.
You don't even know how to explain
beyond what we understand, and so there's going to be a lot of things coming in the next couple of years. And because the church has sort of pigeonholed itself and won't talk about the weird stuff, they're not going to know. Like your pastor ceased to be relevant the moment aliens come down.
That's
like,
all right.
Dude,
we're leaving the church too. I'm leaving that church for sure
because he didn't prepare you for what's coming. And we know, like, well, how can you tell what's coming? Well, if these themes repeat themselves, right?
Yeah.
We see themes in the Bible repeat themselves. We see this like tampering with creation. That's something that's happened since the beginning.
Yeah.
And they've always sort of tried to screw with humanity and knowledge, but there's other beings involved. So I think that what we try to, because we're a podcast, because it's just two guys, because you can't really shut down
dressed in black.
it's like being a comedian. You tell the truth, right? That's your job.
Yep.
And the more you tell the truth, the funnier you are.
Yep.
And I think if Luke and I don't try to tell the truth to people, they won't listen.
Yep.
And I think sometimes in the church, it's the opposite, where if you do tell the church people or tell the church the truth, people kind of get offended and get up and leave.
They leave. Yeah.
Like, you just told me the truth, bro. That's not what I'm here for.
Well, what do you?
Isn't that weird though? It's like the medium that you the
truth is that, yeah, we're here for it, but you don't like, you want to hear truth, but if it's too true,
I'm out.
What's great about comedy, right? Is you can wrap it in humor,
but the reality is,
and we talked about this yesterday, is that the only one that can speak truth to the king is the court jester, right?
Oh yeah,
because anybody else is kind of off with their head, and the sad reality is that's a little bit. A lot of it like our society now. And so luckily for us, like when we're talking about podcasts, we're not, you know, it's not something that's regulated or can be shut down. We're in a really good medium where we can ask the hard questions, pursue the truth. You know, and
you kind of have to cut through the fluff
to get to, well, what in,
why
in the search of truth, what conspiracy theory is the closest one to being accepted? What conspiracy theory used to be a theory that it's closest to being like known?
It has to be the UFO thing. I think it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that was always just like, I mean, ops to basically make you feel crazy and stupid. And then
like Roswell.
Yeah.
Happened. The UFO crashes happened. You know, guys like Bob Lazar were telling the truth that he worked in Area 51 on these alien tech.
Yeah.
And now you have all these, like, there's a whole system in place for people to come out and say, yeah, Bob Lazar was just one of many dudes contracted by the government to work on this stuff. So, yeah, I think that is the most, like, on the surface
Yeah.
Because Hollywood sort of, I think Hollywood tried to like brainwash us to think this is all just make-believe stuff.
Like Will Smith, Independence Day.
Yeah. Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Gosh. Well, yeah. All right. I you know, because you think of like an alien, you think that's where my brain went, Independence Day, when the thing, and he pulled it out of there and punched it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So
welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. Oh, gosh. That's a great movie, dude. Man. And then, he slapped Chris Rock.
And Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid, dude. Cousin Eddie's flying the biplane. And
okay. So, but somebody explained this to me the other day. Like, in the book of Revelation, they're like, it looked like four horses that had flames in its eyes that had like wings. You're like, all right, if you saw a drone or a helicopter in the Bible times, right, you don't have the vocabulary to, you're like, it looked like fire in its, headlights or like, wings. If you go, if they saw a vision, right? I saw this vision of the future, or this is how the world's going to end, or whatever. Yeah. And they were trying to describe it. They don't have, it looked like a car flying. They don't they didn't never seen that.
I don't know what the internet was.
Yeah, they didn't, they don't have, so what if you had, if you tried to describe a car.
Right.
Chariot.
You would be like, it looks like an elephant that, right? You don't have the concept. So that's what like the UFO, like I'm trying to put it in terms of like Independence Day, because that's what I know of it, or like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But you're like, well, that's what you know of it, because that's what you've seen in movies. But if you never had seen the thing before, what?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people that ascribe to that and say, like, John's trying to describe things he can't describe, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have the words. He's never seen it before. So
that's one view of Revelation. That's eschatology.
And you're saying there's another one.
Oh, there's a lot of them. I mean, there's people that believe that is all about the fall of Rome, and that all is done.
Okay.
Because Rome fell, and then there's people that say, oh, he's trying to describe things he can't see. And then you go, there's prophetic iconography in him. What is he really saying here?
Yep.
People say maybe he's trying to describe things in the heavenlies that are in four dimensions. And you're looking at things like, I don't know how to make this make sense. Four figures on a throne and heads.
But regardless, like, we know that it's going to, like, these things repeat. These themes repeat. So Revelation will repeat.
I was just talking about that yesterday, dude. Yeah. I feel like not the Holy Spirit, but somebody's like, has a message for me. Yeah. It's a message. History repeats itself.
Yeah, it's going to repeat.
I was talking about that yesterday with my buddy.
So Revelation is always true in a sense. Like, it was true then. Maybe it was true for the fall of Rome, but it's also true for the transhumanism paradigm that's coming, because we're going to all be tempted to upgrade, to be non-humans in our lifetime. It's coming. And the real question is, when you're no longer human, are you protected?
What do you mean non-human?
Like, you are no longer in the image of God. You have taken some sort of genetic mark, perhaps, and you are no longer.
Or Neuralink.
You are no longer a child of God.
My girlfriend sent me that thing where you could swipe your hand at Whole Foods.
That's the beginning of like technology. I'm talking that's about just, like,
oh, you're like,
you can have Google Brain.
Palm, dude.
You're like, no, do that. No,
that's
definitely
that's
do
just
that.
High tech palm reading, bro.
I was like, dude, I went to this thing at the airport where I swiped my credit card and then I left with a bag of Cheetos and they didn't pay for it. Like, yeah, that's a, they just,
you're still human.
They have a barcode. They're like, dude, have I sold myself? They're like, no, dude, you're trying to get on the flight.
This is a whole nother, like, you're,
but I'm just saying, like,
get on the flight.
A lot of people, they read Revelation with this idea of what's going to come in the future.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly, but we do know that there are verses that say things like they're going to beg for death and they won't be able to find it. That sounds like immortality. That sounds like you've left, you know, we all die and we can all kill ourselves still. But what if you upgrade into something that's more like, you know, an angelic kind of being where you can't die? So some of those verses make more sense. Because they wouldn't make sense to ancients. How can you not leave this realm? How can you not end it all?
Yep.
It doesn't make sense. So I think regardless of how you believe Revelation, you got to understand that like it's going to repeat. And there is truth you can take from this. All these books of the Bible. And I think the beginning and the end, like every film, it's the most important part.
Yeah.
So Genesis, there's so much hidden in there that we don't understand.
The beginning, yep.
And that's like the moment that, you know, you watch any great film like.
Damn, this made me want to read the Bible.
And then the end, right? So the beginning is the end is the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Like the opening scene in so many movies is how the movie ends. And yeah, then you go, like, oh, dang.
Oh.
That's the moment.
Usual Suspects.
Exactly. Yes.
Sixth Sense. I don't want to ruin it for you after 25 years, but oh, yeah. Bruce Willis is dead.
But the light bulb turns on.
You see him die in the beginning.
But the light bulb turns on slowly, so you slowly realize you were dead the whole time. It's like, oh, you know?
That's the whole thing, is the blurry, you're like, if you're walking down the street and $20 falls out of the pocket of the person in front of you, should I, right? You have all these, like, you're saying there's, we've talked about this before, they're good and evil are, if not trying to influence you, do exist to influence you.
Yeah.
So if you believe in the Bible, if you are a believer, you have to believe in, you can't be zero on the spectrum we're talking about.
Right.
You have to be somewhere on it.
Yeah.
And you have to be probably, if you believe in the Bible, you have to be pretty far down on the, not the conspiracy theory, but the otherworldly
supernatural.
You can't
be like culturally Christian.
You can't be a Christian and be like, that doesn't exist.
Well, there's the cultural Christian, like be a good person, go to church, do the thing.
Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat.
Yeah. Like there are benefits to that. I think a lot of
Jordan Peterson. That's a lot of his thing. It's I'm not a Christian, but the following the man of Jesus.
Right, this is
the best way to live.
I just follow these rules and try to be a good person. And these are the precepts, and like this will make my life.
Don't lie, don't cheat. Right. Don't
knowing,
steal,
like knowing, there's a big difference between knowing God, having a relationship with God, Him communicating with you and helping you, and then knowing about God.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of people who know about this subject.
Yeah,
and I think that was one of maybe Jesus's main qualms with humans at the time.
Yeah,
you guys don't know me.
You don't know me. You know,
I'm here in your midst. You know all about the book. In fact, you've been taking classes on this your whole life. But I'm right here.
Somebody told me that about like Michael Jordan. I could tell you a lot about him.
Yeah,
I don't know him.
Right.
I can't. I don't know. Did he win 6 championships? He played for the Bulls. He left to play baseball. I could tell you all things, but I don't.
Greatest of all time.
Never
not
met him.
Debate.
No debate. Obviously, that's not up for debate.
Yeah.
But somebody told me. I want to say high school, and when I've been at my, let's say, darkest or most fearful, or like, you guys tell me if this is biblically accurate, but that I
don't know if we're the arbiters of biblical.
Well,
we don't know.
I feel like what you guys need to do is start wearing suits, trim these beards up, get some haircuts.
We'll just take the mustache off. We can go hang out with your family.
These guys I trust. Yeah.
Hey, bring that bowl cut back. We'll all do it.
Oh, dude. It's getting there.
Can't wait.
That I said.
That was the sidebar. That was the greatest. Because you just show up and act like, what? This is how I do my hair. What's wrong with my facial hair?
Somebody told me that you... I want to say I was in high school and I grew up in a very, there's a lot of speaking in tongues, praying for people,
Pentecostal
falling over, people being slain in the spirit, being arrested by the Holy Spirit, whether that was laughing, screaming.
Dude, I remember this is like late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Mid 90s, late 90s. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit was working overtime back then.
Heck yeah.
I was either fearful or, and this is not even as a kid, I would say it as an adult, that you, If quote demons or the enemy or whatever is near you or in your room or however you feel fearful or scared or panicked or whatever, that you say, have you ever heard this? You say the name of Jesus out loud and command them verbally to you must in the name of Jesus, you must leave.
Yeah.
And they have to by the realm or what do you say that there's like other
by the laws and
the laws of they have legal. To.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
somebody told me that and I have practiced that.
No, but that's like, honestly, it's what's funny about that is that like these we talk about ghost hunting shows. When the things are real, people that actually professionally ghost hunt that aren't believers know this is like a get out of jail free. Like if someone starts getting too crazy and they can do that. And these people don't.
They're not
believing. It's fascinating because
it's like the kryptonite for
them. They don't claim the name of like Buddha or Allah. Yeah. It's the name of Jesus is what, it's like this little magic trick. Like if you need this thing to stop, this experience to stop because it's too much.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, right? Because,
but these people are not, work. They have no reason to,
yeah. Yeah.
No reason. Actually, it might hurt them to admit that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we get a lot of emails from people who say, like, I'm not religious and I'm not a Christian, but I really like your show.
Yeah.
And I always think that's interesting to me because it's like, dude, we drop the gospel and it's crazy. But I think the thing that we do that I think the church should do more of is we don't treat people like they're kids, and we don't give them a PG version of anything.
Yeah.
We give you the rated R version of everything. Like we treat people like adults, like you can handle it. And I think the Bible does the same thing, by the way. It leaves everything in there. It does not.
Song of Solomon, baby.
Oh yeah.
And it's because you need the whole story.
Yeah.
And I think so what we have is like, we kind of have these snippets and we go like, well, we don't want to talk about that. So people leave their faith because they go, why would God flood the world? Why would he do that?
And then we don't want to speak about it or say, is it a allegory or is it real?
We say things like that. Yeah.
And then we just kind of move on from it. And then you're like,
wait, what happened there?
Yeah. You know, I don't think I've ever heard a Joel Osteen sermon on that.
No, you won't.
On the Nephilim.
You won't.
I don't think he's covered it.
He's coming on the show.
It's on TV.
To what Nate said there too. I think it's also important, like, if you're treating people like adults, is to allow them to be presented with the information and then make up your own mind.
Yeah.
Like it's literally like free speech at its finest. It's like take in these ideas and these theses of people that have studied and spent and written books on this stuff that really doesn't have answerable. We don't have actionable answers, if you will. But then you're grown up enough that you should make up your own mind about it. So like I said, chew the meat, spit out the bones. And that's, we do the same thing as we do the interviews. It's like, well, this is a little wacky out there. Yeah. We have folks on that talked about every
that's on the Patreon after. Wild. Like, dude, this guy's nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you name it, we've heard it. Like every observatory on the planet, it's a Stargate and things like that. And you're I don't know, man. Like the Hawaiians were in the lost tribe of Israel. We've heard, you know, things that you're like, whoa, okay. I mean,
yeah, your boyfriend shapeshifted into like a Hulk creature. Like we've heard. Just about everything.
Just on mushrooms.
But I have an idea, though. We should pick it in front of Joel Osteen's church with signs that say, talk about the Nephilim. Like, that's the next video.
He's like, what? Yeah, he's
like, wait, what is that? We should just do like a little video with that. We'll be there.
Well, is the idea, has there ever been in human history prior, this might be an ignorant question, prior to United States of America, where you are allowed to speak freely?
I mean, that's a good question. I think
so.
I don't think information was offensive.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't think information was offensive to people.
Well, the only reason I say that is because when something by nature, and it's 2020 and 2021, we're like heavy with this and probably less now. By nature, when something is removed from the internet, especially with socials, when they remove something, I go, we need to listen to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time. Why? Okay. Cause that's the definition of truth is if you, like, I've said this a bunch, people say I'm gay on the internet all the time. I don't. Okay. I really
come was over the room.
Dude, I met your girlfriend.
I really don't have much of a issue with that. Like people say there's no truth to that. So it doesn't resonate as offensive to me. It's just like a silly thing. Right. I don't want to suppress it. I just go, I don't, and no problem with that. I don't say, hey, take that down.
Right,
somebody says, like, the only thing that's ever been offensive or scary is truth.
Yes.
All the time. Otherwise, you would have no reason to take it down. And so when you go, hey, remove, now I'm not talking about hate speech or someone that want to kill somebody. Somebody's just speaking ideas.
Right.
And somebody goes, remove this.
Yeah.
Or if not removed, the idea of UFOs or extraterrestrial things or other things that have come in the news that come and go.
Right.
And they go, why didn't this catch? Or like not a conspiracy, whatever you call it, like Jeffrey Epstein, people go,
right,
what is going on? And then you, I feel like I go, hold on. What? And then I scratch the surface a little bit and then I get scared.
Yeah.
And I go, or you see a 90-minute documentary and then you go, I don't want to go into this any further, because if I open this door, which it sounds like y'all have, and prior to 2020, you were kind of scratching the surface of this, and now you get into it and you're like, dude, there's so much going on here.
This has happened with Giant stuff recently on TikTok. Have you guys seen all that?
Yeah,
there's a bunch of Giant videos that have come out.
And
the people disappear allegedly, or the content gets pulled down. What are your thoughts on all that type of stuff?
When it comes to Giants, we talk a lot about how they were, there's all this archaeological evidence that they were pushed to remote parts of the world.
Which is somebody that, what, is taller than 8 feet or what? It's a giant.
Yeah. It could be eight feet. Sometimes they found skeletons up to 18 feet, 19 feet.
A human.
Hybrid.
They're human skeletons.
Humanoid.
But they have these giant skulls and they, so you can go, anyone right now can go to, archives, newspaper archives.
It's like in, my website.
Type in
$30 a month.
Subscribe.
Exactly. Go to boycreatures.com, put in $50, and then you'll get access. But you can go to these newspaper archives, and you can type in, they're still available. Type in giant skeletons found. You will find thousands and thousands of news articles where farmers dig up these things. And you got to think to yourself, okay, you know, there was, you know, what, yellow history or whatever they call it, like
yellow journalism.
Yellow journalism. And it's like, okay, there was some spoof stuff. But after a while, you got to go, okay, this has been from 1850 till like 1920. Yeah. You had 70 years of people finding these giant skeletons, because that's when farmers started going, and every time Smithsonian shows up and takes these things. So they're not. They were here. They were here in America. And then you have these stories of Lovelock Cave in Nevada, where the Indians fought them and trapped them in there and smoked them out. You could see these skeletons on display in a museum there till like 10 years ago. And then they took them. There was a giant museum in Catalina Island. A guy was digging them up on Catalina Island, and he had them in this warehouse. And we had listeners email us. My grandma went to that museum. I wish she was still alive. She would come on her show and tell you going to that museum. Huge skeletons, 7, 8 footer, 9 footer, 10 footers. And we think those are some of the last ones, the ending ones. And then you can go to Peru and you can see the elongated skulls, which are genetic anomalies. They're not human skulls.
That's how my cousin was born.
With a big head?
No, he just had it's settled. But it was a kind of a...
Like Peyton Manning? It happened. Like a five head.
Luke's dad's like, got dude, a pretty big head. We wonder about Luke's dad.
Oh, yeah.
We actually wonder. So these are just these are the historical accounts. And then you have people, we brought in this guy, Dark Waters, who's got a YouTube channel, who these fishermen tell a story of seeing one remote in Louisiana. We're fishing and they're going through, they're miles in. They're camping one night, start a fire, and they see these giant heads look through the bushes at them. And you got to go, okay. And then Solomon Islands, you know, there's stories of giants still living in the mountains of the Solomon Islands. Yeah, Afghanistan, same thing. So they're still around. And then there was that one in Portland where the guy said that this giant opened a rock door and looked out, and then there are all these TikTok type of truthers going there to see, did this thing actually open up? But, I mean, we hear those stories all the time.
And one of the things that we talk about on our show is that Dr. Michael Heiser famously said on our show that, like, if all these things, right, thousands of articles and all these experiences, if just one is true, you can throw out all the rest of them, say they're not, one is true, it causes you to adjust your paradigm. You have to make space for it. And it can't, it's not 100% everyone's lying. And all these articles from the 19th, 20th century, they're not all lying. Yeah. So after year five, they'd be like,
maybe no more giant articles.
All right, we got it. Or like everybody's getting,
What do you do with that?
So then I don't think they're believing those anymore.
And so the other thing that's interesting too is that, like, you look at the conquest of Joshua, right? Where biblically they're meant to clear the Holy Land of these tribes.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of thought process that because the spies came back and said there were giants in the land, that they were, this is part of a lot of Christians have a problem with this, is that God sanctioning what they call genocide upon these tribes in the Holy Land. And I think you can go both ways. You can say, you know, at this point we're pre-Jesus, so God is using Israel's instrument of judgment. These people were worshiping false gods, and then they deserve judgment. They no longer have the grace and the sacrifice of Christ. But also, because we know there's giants, you have these beings that are an abomination to God. They are these mixing of races of angelic and human race.
They're not human.
Well, humans don't grow that tall. So that would be,
They have all sorts of
Manute Bol got pretty tall.
Yeah.
They have genetic disorders.
Yeah. George Murison.
So they often have six fingers,
yep.
six toes, huge heads, and blood disorders. There's all this, people come on and say that they had all these problems, you know, reproduction problems.
Allegedly. I mean, I don't know how they
were. Yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, some of these things got massive. I mean, it says in numbers that they were as big as cedar trees. And that's what terrified them from going into the promised land. So you hear about this. Oh, we don't want to go into the promised
land. Yeah, they were like.
Not like.
They were like, well, my high school. Well, these are like small uncomfortable. White guys. And we played Buford High School.
These guys are uncomfortable truths, though, right? Yeah. So then the modern answer is like, oh, well, they were just, these spies were exaggerating, because they were scared to go into these armies.
Or they were like, they always use that as like a.
Or allegory.
An underdog. We were an underdog. And like, there's giants in your life.
Yeah. You need to go. It's always that. Like,
tell your boss that you need a
giant in your life, John.
This is like,
I'm scared. So that's the giant you have to slay,
dude,
John.
If I was in that story and that story was verbally passed down over generations, and then a church in 2023 was like, what's your giant? You should turn off your TikTok and focus on your family. I'd be pissed, dude. I'd be like, dude, I risked it all.
Right.
And now this is how they're using my story.
Grandpa was killing giants and now you're turning your TikTok off.
Well, you need to put only 20 minutes a day on your Instagram. And you're like, dude, this is not what I had.
I would say this, John, people don't want to throw that out. It's like, listen, the Bible's either 100% true, or not at all. Yep. This is a zero sum game. So it's tough to say that you can. Oh, I'm just going to believe this, but not. I'm throwing this out, and you go, oh, man, that's tough. Like
it's tough.
Or it's like Peterson is a deeper form of truth. It is what we base everything on.
That you can, if you say there's things in this book that are otherworldly or other. I don't have the context. That in itself is a belief.
Yeah.
There are I don't totally understand this. I do believe the book to be what it says it is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn all this in the afterlife or after death.
I think one of the things we do is we work backwards. Yeah. And I think a lot of times the church works the opposite way. Like, we start with like modern day weird stuff that's happening now.
Yeah.
Where does this come from? How is it possible this creature exists today? Where is this technology that these, you know, fallen angels, aliens, whatever you want to call them, where does it come from? So we work backwards. And then when you work backwards, you start to go, oh, dude, the giants were they were around in the 1850s getting dug up. Oh, they were around in this time. Oh, they're a part of every culture's history.
Yeah.
People were fighting giants. I mean, giants were supposedly put Stonehenge together. Oh, there were giants in this country and this. Oh,
you see,
and you go back.
Evidence of it. AG1, baby, sponsoring this episode, has been a part of millions of mornings since 2010. A foundational nutrition supplement, my bad, that delivers comprehensive nutrients for whole body health. Replace your multivitamin, probiotic, and more with one drinkable habit. Just one daily serving gives you the comprehensive foundational nutrition, sports energy, focus, strength, clarity with 75 high quality vitamins, probiotics, and whole food sourced ingredients. And listen, when's this episode going to play? Do you know?
This is this week.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I'm going into the holidays. Mm-hmm. I need to be strapped up.
For sure.
Oh, I need to be on it. I need to be active.
Yes.
I need to be funny.
Yes.
I need to be engaging.
Yes.
Conversational.
Yes.
Not tired. I got a lot of nieces and nephews.
Yes.
How am I going to get all that?
Hmm.
AG1, baby.
Yes, sir.
And listen, why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop? Oh, you know what? I also want to be better than my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be like, great. Hey, well, John, why is everything going so good for you? I'll tell you.
Yes.
AG1, baby. One scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. Gives you increased energy, mood support, making it easy to live your best life, as Ben Rector would say, and Joel Osteen. If you're looking for a simpler, more effective investment for your health, try AG1 to get 5 free travel packs plus a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/net positive. That's drinkag1.com/net positive, or hit the link in the episode description below.
You've been to Peru, and we were there.
I'm gonna tell you a miracle that I saw in Peru.
I love this.
Go ahead.
Okay, so but where the Incas began, they say that they found this place. It was the abode of the gods, and the mythos is the giants built it. This is the place where the Inca civilization began.
Okay.
And the Incas will tell you in the same way that the Native American tribes that exist in the mountains in the United States will tell you that regardless of what the narrative is, modern narrative is now, that they didn't build these.
Yeah.
And they also say that it was built by giants. This is what the Incas say. This is where they began. The Incas began. That's the mythos. And this is,
there's like the core people who know their history, and then there's like the accepted countries. Broad history.
Right, right.
So there's like the purists who say, they'll tell you, nah, we didn't build this. But this, you know.
Like in the school, the books they learn in school.
Well, that's because it's a huge part of their,
atheist high school in Peru. I'll tell you that.
No, there's not. I mean, it's like there's not one in sub-Saharan Africa. Like you believe this or this, you serve this
you
god or that
in
god.
Nothing. You'd be in
there's
crazy.
No, there are no big Lebowski nihilists running around in all black.
But there's groups within groups. And I think, you know, the core people will say, they're like, yeah. They don't have any problems telling you the truth. Yeah, we didn't build this stuff. We didn't build this stuff. We don't know. We don't know who did.
Yeah,
but that's not good for tourism.
What does the Egyptians say about the pyramids?
Well, it depends who you talk to. Modern Egyptologists have the narrative, but you talk to kind of like alternate historians. They get labeled alternate, and then they get shuffled to ancient aliens and stuff like that. So they don't get accepted by the.
By the way, y'all are in that system. Group.
We are.
So. You're in the alternate group.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But we spice it up, though.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me in Peru.
Let's hear it.
I saw this with my own eyes. We were doing these like street, like it's these street like ministry or whatever.
Street evangelism.
Yeah, which is.
You guys doing a play? Were you street dancing?
No, I was. Yeah, it was like a toy maker. And I was like, all the toys are broken, and I was God, and I come back and like fix all the toys. And it was like,
of course, you put yourself at the epicenter.
No, dude, I didn't choose it, bro. They chose me.
Listen, I'm playing God. It's like
God.
Philip Seymour Hoffman in Long Came Polly. I'm playing all the parts.
It was that Dave Chappelle bit. It was like the true story of Antoine Fisher, written by Antoine Fisher. Okay, I forgot this girl's name, but I think her last name was Schneider. I'm friends with this girl.
Yeah.
But it's all right. So we did this whole play, and no one spoke English down there, by the way. And it was translated. It was in, we've doing.
So you were just banking on the Holy Spirit doing the translation. Speaking in tongues, basically.
We had an audio. It was in Spanish.
Oh.
The audio of the play. We acted out the play with a video.
Oh.
I mean, I don't agree with this form of evangelism now. It's a whole different story.
Obviously, it worked, though. I don't know why you wouldn't believe it.
So this girl was. She was the devil. So she had like a black eyeshadow, and she would, you know, go around.
Typical woman hater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that I still believe in. That's stupid. Okay. So she was like, I would go and like talk to, everyone's like the friendly character. Right? And I would talk to everybody after the kids. There was translators. And this girl, it was on a basketball court. I remember this in a village that was like a concrete slab, I guess, in the middle. And then, so we did the play. Afterwards, I saw that girl sitting on a bench talking to a woman, conversing with a woman for probably, we were playing with the kids, you know, and playing soccer or whatever, talking with that woman for 30 minutes. And then we got on the bus, and I was like, somebody goes, that's crazy, dude. Did she speak English? And she goes, no. I go, well, did you speak Spanish? And she goes, no. And I saw them. They were like
speaking to each other.
Yes. I saw it with my own eyes, dude. And I like some of the other stuff, like it was a little like, so I kind of like as that has gone on, I remember it as clear as day at the time. And as that's gone on, that's probably 15 years ago now. And that's similar to most people's stories. You go, and then a week goes on, and then you go, and there's a lot of stories like that where we had this extra, like, there were like, everybody had these peanut butter jelly sandwiches. And we're all in this bus on the way home, and there's all these people outside who are like, we'll just go out. The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were for us, for the group of missionaries or whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody goes, well, go. We're going back to the, you know, Ritz-Carlton or wherever we're staying at, obviously. But no, just kidding. That's wherever we're going back to, wherever we're going. And somebody goes, well, just go past
that. Four Seasons.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I had points, but I just kidding. Somebody goes, well, just go pass out the sandwiches. And so they were like, well, they put them like under their like shirt to like go out and like pass them out. And they had like, everybody had like four or five, and they just kept like,
dude, so move over loaves and fishes. We're multiplying PBJ.
They just kept passing them out and kept passing them out. And then that, and then until everybody like, and I was like, that was the bus that I was on.
Yeah.
And I was like, and everybody just sat there like, and now I look back on it, it's 15 years ago, but a lot of stuff like that was happening. And yeah, you're like, all right, is it, so you go two camps, right? Throw that out.
Right.
That's, you didn't see that. Okay. And everybody goes, I need to see proof. I need to talk to everybody. Let's go back to that village. Did you have a sandwich? Did you have a sandwich? What were you speaking about? I saw them.
You're like a spiritual Oprah. Like, you get a PBJ.
Yeah, but everybody.
You get a PBJ and you get a PBJ.
And I was handing them out. Everybody goes, man, if I would have seen the Red Sea part and I walked across it, I would be the biggest Christian of all. But so they weren't. They got over there and immediately started being like, yeah, I don't believe
it. Well, that is really, you bring up a really good point. Like, we've talked to, I think Heiser talked about this on the show. He said most of the time Moses was really bored.
Okay.
He was wandering around. He had a bunch of angry, grumpy people who hadn't eaten anything different.
40 years in the desert.
And the Bible doesn't give you all of that. So when we read the Bible, we read the highlight reel. And then we go, this didn't happen because my life is mostly boring.
Yeah.
And
these are crazy stories.
Yeah. But it's like, well, it's just giving you the highlights of how we got here. And how they got there and how this whole story gets reclaimed and redeemed.
Yeah.
It just gives you the highlights. And so if we actually had all the volumes of the boring stuff, you wouldn't be able to read it for one.
Water and fed my camel.
Yeah. Just like the miracle story he was telling earlier. Like,
he goes,
sometimes
let's skip this part. There's 15 years in here. We got nothing.
Nothing really happened.
He said the highlight of John's life. I was like, he was born in Georgia. Yeah. He started being a comedian.
He goes to Florida on a bus.
Yeah.
Because people can't take horse and buggy.
10 years of girls not talking to him.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then, they got canceled. Right. And now here he is.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what? That's this
guy's out in the bushes. I'm going to take up baptism.
Yeah. So
I think that's a good job.
He has this on the mountaintop experience. They go, well, let's put that one in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I think
so.
I think it's fascinating too, is like, that's, I have that same sort of situation. Like, I was a YWAMer. After college. Yeah. So I was in Southeast Asia and I saw miraculous healings. I saw them.
And the thing about that is we went to another country in the name of Christ.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree with Christians and going to other countries and converting people. We all proclaimed out loud that we are going to this place that is ruled or governed by darkness.
Right.
And we said, we are going in the name of Christ,
right?
There, and that's there. Tell
what I'm saying, but I saw miraculous healings. I saw things that don't make sense. And what happens inevitably, and I think it's fascinating, because you do the same thing as you go, even when you've witnessed these things.
Yeah.
As time erodes, it you start to rationalize. Did I really see what I saw? Did that really happen that way?
And
that's kind of how it's
similar with the,
like a hunter will be out for 40 years hunting.
Yeah.
And you'll have one weird story.
Yeah.
It's not like everyone out there is having this just crazy stuff happen. Yeah. Sometimes people will have multiple encounters and you're just like, man, you got like,
but this doesn't line up with the rest of the stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
With the rest of, so either maybe I was asleep, I had a vision.
Yeah.
I was hallucinating. Maybe the doctor would be like, maybe you were tired, you didn't have enough electrolytes, or some kind of physical rationale of why that thing didn't happen.
But then there's stories outside of all of that.
Yeah.
There is no explanation.
Right.
There is no Occam razor thing to say, oh, this is exactly what happened. This is the easiest answer. So it has to be that.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit. And you'll have these guys come on like, look, I'm just a park ranger, you know?
I got no skin in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is more detrimental to me, to my career, to actually come out and say this. Yes. So I'm like kind of taking a risk.
I do have skin in the game. Yeah. I can get in trouble for this. We've had to like change people's voices on the show. They don't want to know their names. They've said, look, I was a part of this abduction program. I was a part of this ritual. And we have people come on to say like they're doctors. They're in their 50s. Yeah. They're women. And they don't want any credibility. They don't have social media or nothing. They're like, I was abducted as a kid and taken to the woods, part of these satanic rituals.
Yep.
And all these people would show up. And not only people, but entities would show up. And you're like, Luke and I look at each other like, what do we do with this? Yeah, what do we do with this? Yeah. And this, and then. You're
like, I got a carpool line I got to get in. What am I supposed
to do with this? You're like at Walmart reading the, and then you read the comments and people are just like, these guys are insane. And I think we just feel like, I think we had an idea of what we wanted the show to be.
Yeah.
Like we want to talk about Bigfoot stories. We want to be kind of we still want to be respected.
And have fun.
Yeah.
And
then there's like God's like I feel like had a different vision for what we wanted to do because I remember there was a couple episodes I'm like man if I push publish on this one.
Oh yeah.
Because I've been doing all. I'm like Luke, are we putting this out? Oh, he's like, God, put it out.
I'm like, I don't know. You put, out,
push with you put out everything.
But
you want to put out everything?
We don't put out everything.
No, I'm the other way.
Like, no, you do. I got a family, dude. Oh yeah.
Well, I've heard you guys talk. Can I jump in? I've heard them talk about like Bigfoot's the gateway drug to all conspiracies and everything.
Yeah.
If that's the gateway, what is heroin? Like what's as far on the other side like, as far as you guys go?
That's a good question.
Satanic ritual abuse for sure. The fact that these people know, like you think about how much knowledge it takes to make certain drugs. You have to take it. You have to do this. You have to put it in a batch, boil it, reheat it and all. What?
I'm just sorry. Strike. You set YouTube that off. Strike. That was right there, dude. You had like,
I was about the darkest thing on earth, and you're like, vaccine joke?
Anyway. I'm using your heroin, you know, question.
Yeah, that's actually what he's talking about.
Like, it takes, you know, just to make cocaine, right? Like, we're in Peru. They give you the coca leaves. You could chew on them, and then you're like, everyone's like freaking out. Like, I just chewed on some coca leaves. Like, no, dude, you have to do this crazy thing to actually get cocaine from these leaves.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But I think the same thing is the supernatural, the dark entities know like all the spiritual laws of a human being and what they can do with a human being. Like we know human trafficking exists and it's like conspiracy theory, but more and more people are blowing the, no. They take kids, they farm them, they use them all up. Every way they can use a kid, they use them. It's happening. We got movies coming out now saying it's happening. We've got people blowing the whistle everywhere. Now think they're fourth dimensional beings. Human trafficking. We brought on David Politis, who has a huge channel called Missing 401, and he talks about people just vanishing. No animal, no bear, no Bigfoot.
Sign of a struggle.
It just vanished. And then their clothes appear magically miles away, folded. We're talking kids, women, people who can't go up a mountain, you know, 3 miles up a mountain on like with no trails, they'll find their clothes like folded. So we bring on those guys that have done the forensic science to say, look, something is trafficking humans and it's not other humans or animals.
Interdimensionally.
That is the heroine of our show.
For the sake of evil.
Who knows? Yes. Yeah.
Or no. Okay.
Genetic programs, hybrids, whatever they're doing. And it the evidence is there that they're not. They're leaving our realm. They're going somewhere else. They're taken in some kind of craft or they're going through some kind of portal. And
that's the other side.
Bigfoot, and I heard these stories and I thought it was just Bigfoot. Oh, Bigfoot's taking people. And these guys are like, no. There's like no evidence that anything's taken them that's walking around.
Yeah.
And just the national park stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
National
parks. But Bigfoot is the gateway, right? Because the footprints. So there's Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, who's like the leading.
You had him on the show.
We had him on the show. But he's like the leading expert, right? He has something like 10,000 casts of different footprints in his office. And he has a Bigfoot butt print. We made some jokes about that. Yeah.
That's in the Patreon.
Thing's leaving evidence. This isn't. These aren't all hoaxes. These are leaving evidence that there's something going on. So you have this, okay, if I can comfortably start to consider this being a reality, then you go, what else is happening that, and that's just one because it's a cultural phenomenon, because so many people see it, because they're recorded.
But that's more believable even. So that's more like.
It's palatable.
That's the gateway drug.
Something.
But then you go through the harder and harder the stories. And the complexity of the stories. How can they split a soul? They do it through trauma. Okay, how does that work? What is a human soul? And then people just, they blow their fuse on us because they're like, that's not in the Bible. And I'm like, neither is photosynthesis, but I have a good idea that it's happening.
Mitochondria is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Of the cell.
And who knows? I mean, and who knows if that, yeah, it's powerhouse of the cell.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that.
That's well done.
Well, some people say, good job. Some people say like they go back and forth on dinosaurs.
Oh yeah.
Let's go.
No, we don't have to go, but dragons. Like, but that, like you go, well, these,
no, we're going,
we have these skeletons, but they are, I like some of you see something wild and you call the Smithsonian. Do not call them. They'll hide it.
That's they'll, a, that, that's a viral video.
Okay.
Right there.
So the, so you see this like a T-Rex, you see it in the museum.
Right.
No one has any
every
evidence of this,
is.
But you have like this much of a bone. You're like, it must, this was the rib cage and they build the whole thing.
Right.
You're like, that probably didn't exist, but they have,
T-Rex probably did. I mean, they have
no.
I,
okay, so we did this episode on human and in Texas. You can go right now. You can still go. There's a like Dinosaur State Park in Texas. There's this old river.
Yeah, run by Joe Exotic.
Good spot. We have tickets available on our website.
Carol,
yeah,
Carol yeah. Vasquez is not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can see human and dinosaur footprints walking together, and not small okay. human footprints. Massive, giant tracks. They were there till the 80s. We actually secured a book. And we did a whole episode on it that we showed the pictures. This guy did a whole thing. There's dozens and dozens of tracks and dinosaur tracks all together at the same time. So A, you had giants and dinosaurs walking among in this riverbed and, yep. and it's clear as day. You can go listen to that episode if you want to like have more evidence about that. But then the guy was saying that in the 80s, our buddy Travis, who runs an account on Instagram called Giants of Ancient America, who catalogs all the archives of giants being discovered. He went there with us and he found them, but he talked to the guys there and they said, dude, in the 80s, they came in and they started chiseling out the giant human tracks because it didn't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden,
they took the signs
yeah. down because you had human entities and dinosaurs existing at the same time. So I would say that there's probably dinosaurs and dragons and these things. They were coexisting with us since the beginning of time, where you had these Leviathan type things in the Bible. What are those? I think there was just I think one thing that we try to tell Christians is that any way that these entities could rebel against God, they did.
Yeah.
They took anything that God made and screwed with it. Plants, animals, people. It was like a rebellion beyond Las Vegas.
Oh yeah.
You know, we think, oh, God flooded the world because it just got bad. Everyone was doing naughty things.
Yeah, real naughty.
I'm thinking we have no idea the level of depravity that some of these things can do. And so the flood was a massive act of generosity to preserve the human species. Yeah. So I think it got pretty wild back then. Like a party beyond you could imagine. Dinosaurs,
John. You know, all right. So let's
like
just
land of the lost.
I think dinosaurs are in that probably.
But they were part of that. I think none of this let's say conspiracy theories or
he's just like, we're nuts. These guys are nuts.
We got to wrap this up in a second, but none of this mattered prior to the internet. Cause you're like, well, this village or this, they believed it didn't really, it didn't really matter. Cause the information and the and there wasn't prior to 1990, these were just, everything was like JFK could happen. Cause they didn't imagine an internet where
you had like five TV stations, you had newspapers.
It was very easy to control.
There
was no,
not everyone had a camera in their pocket.
There was not two lonely dudes that wore black. Right. They were like, let's start a podcast.
Just kidding. Why'd you have to throw lonely in there?
That was unnecessary. Weird shot. Right. They both have families. That was unnecessary.
No, we're lonely now. Yeah. No one wants to talk to us. Yeah. It's true. Well,
but okay.
Yeah, thanks, John.
No. Okay. So prior to, you could just say it would very is easy to say, hey, just get rid of the evidence in Texas. And then that is now done.
Right.
Because if the bone or whatever, right?
Right.
So this doesn't, so now these are all these things are growing exponentially in this community that y'all live in. But everybody's in this, by the way. They're, oh, wait a second.
Right. And I think the last 3 years on should everything. Make you say, wait a second.
On
right?
everything.
Like if you didn't get.
But
get some kind of pill, like red pill, black, whatever it is. If you didn't get that, 2020 didn't wake you up.
Horse pill.
Yeah, but prior. Yeah. So you go, oh, wait a second.
Right.
And that, I think, is has opened the door to all of these things where some things are obviously fake. Well, or it's coming around. But in closing, what is the negative effects of like going down these roads?
Yeah. Mm. That's a good question.
Does that make sense? Because they were this guy, like, hey, he's given up on his family and he lives out in the woods and he's going to, like, all right, we got to still live. I still got a mortgage I got to pay. Mm-hmm. But we know people that are so far down here that they can't come to Christmas anymore.
Right.
Because they're like pulling us aside.
That's why I think it's pagan.
The second Twin Tower was hit with the, have to go into all that, but yeah, yeah.
You're like, John, no, yeah.
I think you're right.
Like, I think,
hey, you want to do 9/11?
What I'm saying is, how do we interact with this, the otherworldly or supernatural, Christian or general, what you call conspiracy theory, and be open to, be critical, but without going overboard.
Oh, I think it's so important to be critical. Like, critically thinking is so important. I think it's very easy to sort of spin off into there's a devil under every rock and think that every conspiracy theory is true and everything that
there's like
everything
a famous
is
quote
a lie.
By C.S. Lewis about that. Yeah. You know, he was saying like, you know, you can work yourself into one of two camps where there's no demons and then everything's a demon.
Yeah.
But it's like that middle ground. Trying to walk the line. I think that's what we try to do on our
show.
Where
if a kid is like, I want to go to like New Orleans is the most common, and I'm going to go in the tarot and the card reading and the astrology. Like, dude, if you read it in Us Weekly, you're like, oh, this means I'm going to meet a boyfriend this week. I don't think.
Yeah.
I believe in a power in ourselves that is greater than that. Right. But if you give yourself over to that.
Yeah.
I do believe in the influence of that.
Yeah, a lot of people say they start having alien encounters after they go to a psychic.
An alien just meaning
abductions,
other...
or they have these memories and something starts happening that they can't control.
Yeah.
They gave up some sort of access and then or control over their own, you know, destiny or whatever you want to say it.
Or open to themselves. Yeah. If you're a child, I'm going to open, you're like playing with an Ouija board or whatever. Right. You're like, all right, you are just like I'm saying, I'm going down to Peru in the name of Christ. You are by opening this, you are inviting. And I do believe that is good and evil are real.
Right.
And I think that's why we called it Blurry Creatures, because we stay in that lane. We talk about creatures.
Yeah.
And each episode is usually about a creature or about a weird event.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that Christ is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to realize that there are other kings. There are other principalities.
If you say he's the King of Kings, then there must be other kings.
Exactly. Yeah.
But ultimately, you start to realize you have to lean into it.
Old English.
We were always in a war. I think we went to sleep at some point and then we kind of felt like, I don't really think anything's crazy is happening. But I think it you have to take your faith seriously, for one. You have to take some of these stories seriously for two, and you have to kind of pick like where you fall in that. I mean, some people, thank God there are people out there like attorneys that dedicate their life to freeing a human that was wrongly put in prison. And I think all of us have a role to play in this, like whatever you feel like
the pursuit of truth.
Yeah. And so you can't do it all.
Yep.
And I don't think we do it all, but we try to say, look, you know, people are having crazy PTSD because they have these experiences that they can't explain and nobody will listen to them, especially the church.
Yeah.
So they come on our podcast and say, look, this is what happened to me. I've been abducted by aliens my whole life. Take it or leave it. And you go, look, we can't tell your pastor this.
Yeah. But
so we give them a venue and an avenue.
And sometimes y'all admittedly do leave it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
sometimes you go, yep. And sometimes you go, no. And that's that we all have.
It's a journey, right? And I think you have to be balanced. Yeah. That's the point is that,
your wife is like, hey, dude.
No, I often bring up The Art of War, which is Sun Tzu, right? This idea.
That Nicolas Cage movie?
Yeah, that is The Lord of War.
Oh.
That's actually might be the best Nicolas Cage
I was making
movie.
A joke, but good thing we actually did clarify
that
because I would be going
movie.
On the
That or Cage Con Air is tough to talk as well. I mean,
great movie.
But I think.
Left Behind.
I think what Sun Tzu says in this book, right, is directed at all these military generals, all references this as being like the. Maybe one of the most important books in welfare or warfare.
Yeah.
And what he says is essentially to distill it down, it says, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you can be victorious. Know yourself, know not your enemy, you'll fail. Know know not yourself and know your enemy. So the idea, I think, for us is like, number one, be measured. Like, this is critical thinking. Like, spit out the bones and chew in the meat. We're just looking for better answers.
Yep.
Number two, it's important to understand we are in a world at war. And if you're a Christian and believe this, you know there's a kingdom of darkness that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Yep. So understanding that and not putting your head in the sand and believing that everything necessarily is rose colored. But I also think that what we try to do is take a look at all this darkness and what's happening. You should be aware of this and then bringing it back and saying, but remember that we win.
Nothing to be scared of.
The Christ is victorious.
Yeah, yeah.
The gospel is the most important and most amazing story that ever been told, more than anything else. And that with Christ, we stand in his victory. So we've already defeated all of this, right?
That's in the book too.
It is. Yeah. And so I think it's so important. Like, you can't, I think you can't put your head in the sand and pretend this doesn't exist, because at some point, and we're seeing this the last few years, it's catching up.
You can't put your head in the sand and you can't put on a tinfoil hat.
Right. Well, you could put one on. I mean, you can buy a whole roll of hats.
Yeah, don't
buy a whole roll of hats.
You can put it, but don't get it.
Try it on and then see where it takes you. But like, you know, like one of our last episodes, I think a lot of people could maybe jump in if you want to listen to our podcast. We did an episode on the bones of Moses. Might be a good place to start with our buddy Joel Matamale, talking about Gabriel and Satan fighting over the bones of Moses. This is a story. This is just dropped in Jude or whatever. And, you know, it's bizarre. Two entities fighting over the bones of some human guy.
Yeah.
But it's in our Bible. So if you want to jump into Blurry Creatures, that's probably a good place to start. And we do get biblical sometimes, but it's not like...
Well, mostly we do.
But sometimes we're just talking about a Bigfoot encounter or whatever, and there's nothing real. There's no real like spiritual lesson to be learned.
We just lay hands on the big guy and pray for him, you know?
Yeah. If you want to get into Blurry Creatures, that's the way to do it. If you wanted to get into Net Positive, you can hear me talk about hitting a drunk guy on Broadway last weekend. So whatever course you want to go down, Blurry Creatures and Net Positive. But thank you guys for having on, man.
Dude,
I could chat with you guys for hours, man. We loved it. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That was great.
This was fun.
It's big time.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.